The scripture verse for today is found in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I'll read it again. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man called, he was in Vancouver. He called his son in Toronto and he said, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I, after 45 years, have had enough of misery. We are going to go our own way. We're sick of each other. So you can call your sister in New York and tell them." Well, frantically, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. "No way are they getting divorced," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." She called Vancouver immediately and said to her father, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing." The man hung up the phone, turned to his wife and said, "Okay, honey, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own flights." Today or tomorrow, friends, we will gather around the dinner table with our family and hopefully we will remember to do more than just eat a lovely meal, that we will gather with Thanksgiving in our hearts. Thanksgiving Day is wonderful in that it gives us a perfect opportunity to transform our lives from those of sometimes being grumpy and grumbling and dissatisfaction to lives of joy and gratitude. And God wants us, friends, to be people of thanksgiving and gratitude. Alan Perkins says, "A thankful spirit is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian. It sets us apart from the world. It makes us different." David said in Psalm 118 verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." The New Living International says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever." Have you heard of this thing called an entitlement mindset that has crept into Canadian society at almost every level? It comes as a result of receiving something on a regular basis. Even if it's a gift, we come to expect it. The attitude is, "You owe me." We have been blessed to live in such a peaceful country, a land of plenty. And as a result, friends, we tend to become complacent and unwilling to give thanks to anyone for anything. Perhaps you heard the story of two old friends who bumped into each other on the street one day. One of them looked so terribly sad that the friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow said, "Let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died, and he left me $40,000. That's a lot of money. But 2 weeks ago, my cousin, I didn't even know, he died, and he left me $85,000. "Well, sounds like you've been blessed." "No, you don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited $250,000. Now the other fellow was getting really confused. Then why do you look so glum? This week, nothing. This is an entitlement mentality, friends. But many people in the world are not very good at saying thank you. Right? A simple thing like you rush to the door at the post office and you let everybody in and people leave in. And it's just like, yeah, you have to do that. A woman boarded a packed bus one day. She was tired and was carrying a whole bunch of parcels. The man stood and offered her his seat. The woman was so surprised, she fainted. Later she came round and said, thank you, and the man fainted. Friends, God wants you and I to be thankful people. We've got to be thankful. Webster's dictionary defines the word thanksgiving as a formal public expression of thanks to God. Someone's on call.
No, it's right here.
That's okay, no problem. In a sense, thanksgiving is a very modest expression. In Hebrew, the word for gratitude or thanksgiving is the word hoda. And it's the same word they use for confession. So to offer thanks to God is to confess your dependence on Him. It is to confess and acknowledge your need for help from Him. It is a way to express and confess and admit that your life is better because of Him. And today I want to look briefly, friends, at some benefits of a thankful heart. One is that a thankful person can increase personal happiness by being thankful. A thankful person can increase personal happiness. Most of us think that our happiness is determined by our circumstances. That our happiness is somehow dependent on how well things are going. But really, our happiness is determined by our attitude. It is really in how we see things. And Paul wrote to the Philippians. He wrote in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. When?
Always.
Always. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. Rejoice in the Lord always. You may say, well, it's easy for Paul to say so. Wait, hang on. Paul was happy despite being in prison and awaiting execution.
Yes.
Right? He learned to thank God in everything he did. And it was really his perspective on life. Listen how Paul described himself in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8 to 10. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Friends, Paul's life was filled with difficulties which he could have complained about. He could have thrown in the towel. Many of us wouldn't put up with constant stress that he experienced, struggles and persecution and beatings and being stoned and being shipwrecked 3 times. And still he was a thankful person. But Paul learned the important secret. Friends, listen, he said in Philippians 4:11-13, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Praise the Lord. He learned the secret of not living his life based on conditions around him. How are the circumstances? Are they bad? He didn't do that, friends. He could be content in prison waiting execution, or he could be content at home. His happiness wasn't based on situations. It was based on his relationship with Jesus Christ. It was based on his relationship with Jesus Christ. He knew that all he needed in Christ. He knew that he had all he needed in Christ. For it was Christ who gave him the strength in life. God is saying to you and I today, don't wait to be happy.
Yes.
Don't wait to be content. Don't postpone happiness until your situation changes. Or you have acquired that certain thing. Okay, now I got it now. Okay? If you cannot be happy now, you will not be happy then. For happiness is not a matter of what you have. Happiness is a matter of who you are. And how you respond to life. Friends, happiness is found within. And unless it is on the inside, all the things on the outside will not make a difference. If you are saying, I'll be happy when, then you will never be happy. Because when that condition is met, there are a dozen other conditions that will take its place. If you cannot learn to be happy now, you will never learn to be happy in spite of how much you achieve. If you are not content with less, you will never be content with more. And sadly, friends, there are many who live in the world in a world of if only I had this, if only this were different, if only I could do that, if only this did not happen to in my life. But the Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Did you see that, friends? Godliness with contentment. Notice it doesn't say prosperity with contentment is great gain. It says godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment comes when we seek God, not things. Not things. I know people who have nothing and that they are very content. I know people who have everything, but they are miserable. They are struggling. Matthew 6:33, we learned when we were little. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. It is our relationship with God which is the source of contentment. And nothing else can take its place, friends.
Right.
Happiness and contentment is really determined by our perspective in life and not by circumstances. If we learn to be grateful people in spite of our circumstances, it will greatly improve our happiness. Author Robert E. Bruce describes the following incident. He said, while walking along a busy street one day, I heard someone singing. His voice was distinguishable even above the noise of the traffic. When I located him, I noticed he had no legs, and he was pulling himself along in his wheelchair. Catching up with him, I said, "I want you to know, friend, that to hear singing from a person in your condition gives everyone else a lift." He answered with a grateful smile. When I stopped looking at what I had lost and began concentrating on what I have left, I found much for which I could rejoice and be happy. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, gratitude increases your personal happiness. Secondly, being a thankful person will also improve your witness for Christ. Being thankful shows on your face. Do you agree with that? It shows on your face. You know, when we were in South Africa, I was the children's pastor there, or we called it the superintendent. And we had lots of children. And that one song that they used to sing, all these little ones used to take their faces and squeeze it like this. It looked so cute. And they used to sing a song, they used to say, "Don't have a face like a coffee pot. Coffee pots are tall and thin." And then they used to open their hands like this. "But do have a face like a teapot. Other souls for Jesus win."
Amen.
Isn't that something? What is sad is that some people are negative and sour, mean-spirited and ungrateful. Isn't that so? And you can't win someone for the Lord. You know, a few weeks ago, Helen and I went just on the other side of Stony Plain there to a widow. And she was trying to sell me something that her late husband owned. And she said, "Yeah, you should take it." And I said, "But how does it work and this and that?" And she said, "Wait, hang on." She phoned a fellow, a neighbor. We waited and waited. He took a long time. And then she phoned him again. And he said, "I'm coming now." And he came flying into the farmyard there, the acreage yard. And he got out and he took the part that I needed. And he walked in towards me. I thought he wants to fight, man. Honestly, I start getting my knuckles ready. I thought this guy wants a sandwich. No, I'm just joking, eh? But he was so mad. And I'm thinking, who are you? That you're mad. I didn't phone you. And you were just mad and mean and grumpy. And afterwards, I was talking to the lady, and she said, "Hey, Keith, this is also a pastor." And he said, "No, actually, I'm not a pastor. I teach Bible study internationally online. I teach Bible study." Friends, listen. You've got to smile a while.
Amen.
Amen. Give your face a rest. Because you know what? You can never win someone for Christ. Do you know if that guy was so mean to me, so angry with the world, and then he tried to tell me about Jesus, I would pull back, withdrawn. Because I don't want to have the Lord who makes you so miserable. But anyway, but when you're thankful and upbeat, we attract the lost with the spirit of gratitude. You know why? Because the world is struggling with depression and unthankfulness, and the world is dark. They need someone, man, who could reach them for the Lord.
Amen.
Someone who is thankful for what God is doing in their lives. We have something they don't have. 1 Peter 2 verse 12 reads, live such good lives among the pagans, that is the unbelieving neighbors, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Friends, living a life of thankfulness will attract the lost for Christ. Another one. Being a thankful person will enhance your relationships. Have you noticed that some couples, married couples, take each other for granted? None of you are here today. I'm talking about another country. Some married couples really take each other for granted. They become ungrateful and unappreciative of their spouses. Someone described the first few years in a marriage this way. They said, during the first year, the husband seeing his wife as a whole says, "You don't look good. You should go to the hospital. I have already arranged it. I know the food is bad there, but I am going to have meals catered in." That's the first year. The second year, he says, "You don't look so good. I have called the doctor. Go and lay down. I will take care of the kids, and the doctor will be right over." On the third year. After the third year, he might say, "I know you are not looking so good. Do you know you're not looking so good? When you are done feeding the kids and cleaning the kitchen, you ought to go lay down." After the fourth year, he says, "Would you quit walking around and barking like a seal? You are going to give me a cold."
Oh my.
That never happens. That's just a story, joke. But you see, by the longer we become familiar, we become less thankful for each other. Husbands, can you imagine how your marriage would improve if you come home one day with a bunch of flowers and you told your wife how thankful you are for all she does? Now, she might faint, but that's a different story. A letter to the editor of the Chicago Tribune was written. A letter to the editor of the Chicago Tribune was written by a man who had just buried his wife of 40 years. In it, he said that after all the relatives left, he had wandered around the house for a while, looking at the furnishing the two of them had bought together and remembering. He recalled 40 years of marriage, 40 years of companionship and happiness. "We went through some hard times," he wrote, "but she never complained. Even when money was the tightest, she always had a good hot meal ready when I got home." Then he added, "But never one time do I remember saying thank you." His letter was published in the Chicago Tribune as an appeal to husbands and wives to to turn to their spouses and say thank you. Thank you for making my home. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my companion. Wives, just think about how your marriage would improve if you told your husband. All the guys are saying, tell them, no. How your marriage would improve if you told your husband how much you love and appreciate him.
Yes.
He might faint, but that's another story. Children, on a more serious note, think of how better things would be in your home if you told your parents how grateful you are for the things they do for you. Just imagine how much better our church relationships will be if we express thanks for each other from time to time and not take each other for granted. Do you know how Paul began most letters in the Bible? Well, to the church in Rome, he wrote in Romans 1:8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. To the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. I always thank God for you. To the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 1 verse 16. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. To the church at Philippi, Philippians 1 verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. To the church at Colossae, Colossians 1 verse 3. I always thank God when I pray for you. Paul made sure that the people in the churches knew that he was thankful for them. Friends, thanksgiving is God's idea. He wants it because it's important even in our relationships. Being a thankful person, one more, friends. Will strengthen your relationship with the Lord. Being thankful will strengthen your relationship with God. Someone said that God lives in two places. He lives in heaven and he lives in a humble, grateful heart. Friends, there is something inside of us that needs to give thanks to God. I find that when I spend time giving thanks to God for all that I have, for loving me, I find that I'm so close to him. I think that that's exactly why our text said, remember in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's plan, friends. His will for us to give him thanks. He made us for that. So being a thankful person will increase your personal happiness, will improve your witness for Christ, will enhance your relationships with others, will strengthen your relationship with God, and these are the benefits of a thankful person. Give me a few minutes to suggest some ways to develop thanksgiving, in our lives. Start by remembering, friends, that everything we have is from God. Amen?
Amen.
Everything you have is from God. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's not up on the screen, but listen to Haggai 2 verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Listen to Psalm 50 verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Friends, when we do this, it reminds us that it's a privilege that God has loaned us the things we have. Hey? That we become stewards. The word steward means we become managers of something that belongs to Him. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not? Amen. There's a story of a very poor man who was given a loaf of bread. He thanked the baker, but the baker said, don't thank me, thank the miller who made the flour. So he thanked the miller, but the miller said, don't thank me, thank the farmer who planted the wheat. So he thanked the farmer, but the farmer said, don't thank me, thank the Lord for the good weather, the sunshine, the rain, and the fertile soil.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why you have bread to eat. Everything we own, friends, we ultimately receive from God, and we owe Him thanks. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, there's no change or shadow of turning. Remembering that everything we have is from God. Secondly, let's avoid complaining. Let's avoid complaining. Some people are champions, eh? They're champions, man. You know, you ask them, like, out of the kindness of your heart, how are you doing? And then you say, why? Why did I ask? Christian author Dr. Dale Robbins writes, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Psalm 77 verse 3. The psalmist said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, man. You know, a man went to a monastery where he stayed for 3 years. He was only allowed to use or to say two words a year. At the end of the first year, he said, bed's hard. At the end of the second year, he said, food cold. By the end of the third year, he said, I quit. To which the priest replied, well, it's no wonder. All you've done since you've come here was complain. Complaining is the arch enemy of thanksgiving. The two cannot exist or reside in the same heart. Do you agree? I'm complaining and I'm thankful. No, man, that's wrong. Oh, Lord. Philippians 2 verse 14 and 15 says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Do everything without complaining. And one last thing that you can do to develop a spirit of thanksgiving is to develop, friends, a daily discipline of giving thanks. Daily discipline of giving thanks. We need to give thanks every day, not just on Thanksgiving. I know we don't do that, but we need to develop Thanksgiving every day. Discipline of thanksgiving, friends. We need to discipline ourselves to find something each day that we can be thankful for and express our thanks to God. In Ephesians 5, 19 and 20 says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always is the key word there, friends. Give thanks every day. You know, I was reading Daniel chapter 6 yesterday. Do you know that Daniel, there were people who were plotting to have Daniel killed? But you know, when I read further down, I found this. Daniel got down on his knees 3 times every day and prayed and gave thanks to his God. Did you see that? They're trying to kill me here. But I'm on my knees saying, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. See, well, I don't know. Friends, it's easier said than done. But let's develop this attitude of gratitude. Remember the old hymn, when upon life's pillows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving is a daily discipline. One day I was talking to a fellow and I was telling him, complaining how cold it is here in this country. You know what he said to me? Yeah, but there's no mosquitoes. He had something to be thankful for. Friends, I want to conclude by saying this. You know, there is always something for which you can be thankful. Amen?
Amen.
You can always find something to be thankful for, friend. Some children were asked to make a list of things for which they were thankful. A little boy couldn't think of anything what to write down. Eventually he wrote, thank you, Lord, for my glasses. They keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me. Friends, listen, there is always something for which to be thankful. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you want. If you did, what is there to look forward to? Be thankful that you don't know something, because it gives you an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times, for it's during these times you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, friends, because it will build strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes, because they will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you are tired and weary, because it means that you have made a difference. It's easy to be thankful for good things, but I want to also say, be thankful for the setbacks. Be thankful for the tough times. Be thankful, friends. As we look around in this land of plenty, it's my prayer that we will see through new eyes each day the ways that God has blessed us, and never take his blessings for granted. This year, as you celebrate Thanksgiving, may we see God for who he really is, and see ourselves for who we really are. People have been blessed beyond measure, and people who need to give thanks to God for his goodness towards us are you and I, friends.
Yeah.
in his song, My Tribute. When I was a young Christian teenager, we used to listen to a fellow from the States called Andre Crouch. He sings this song, How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that we would be people who are thankful and grateful. Let's bow our heads and pray. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. When we look at your goodness towards each one, we are thankful, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As Flora May prayed, thank you, Lord. Help us to develop grateful hearts, Lord, thankful for everything, for all people around us, our relationships with them, for our relationship with you, Lord. Lord, bless us, Lord. Help us that because we become thankful people, that we are able to reach those who are struggling, Lord. Bless us. Bless everyone here. No one is exempt. No one is immune. We all need you, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.